The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
You're watching Sky Sports News HD, reporting from the O2 with me, Bad News Barrett, and I believe Ron Burgundy.
Fun. Done. Go. Today's headlines. With less than 26 days until England's first World Cup match, Phil Jones has insisted they are good enough to win the tournament. The Manchester United defender has given time to prove his fitness for England's opener against Italy on the 14th of June, and is adamant that the confidence within the squad is very high. Bad news.
Yes, thank you, Fandango.
So I hear Wade Barrett's been telling us for the last couple of weeks how England are going to win the World Cup. Of course, Republic of Ireland and Scotland aren't in the World Cup, but...
We're not going to talk about that.
What's the crack? How you doing? You're watching Sky Sports News HD, reporter on the O2 with me, the Celtic warrior, Seamus.
And me, Drew McIntyre.
Anyway, moving on. Sir Bradley Wiggins has revealed that he wants to help Chris Froome, they pronounce that right, Chris Froome, right?
You got it.
Win his second Tour de France title. Wiggins is hoping to be picked for Team Sky after winning the Tour of California. And he's prepared to be one of Froome's support riders. I guess that's all for us, short and sweet, right?
And that's all from us and the Sky Sports team news for now.
The bad news is that's all from us here at the Sky Sports team. Good night. Goodbye. I miss you.
Dufosity has no border. And when WWE is overseas, the doofus can be doubled. We're probably not going to be as doofus here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and the people around my table tonight, I'm sure I have a few disgruntled individuals. Let's start with the perpetually disgruntled New Yorker, Jason Block.
Do not get me you're going to get me started about what happened this week in the finances. We'll get to that later, but I'm upset, really upset, but go on.
Also, we have our international correspondent who is unfortunately all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Oh my God, we've got one person upset with finances, and all I've got to say is it bad that Seamus and Fandango do better acting than John Cena and The Rock? Is it just, I'm sorry, they portray newscaster better than Cena and The Rock can portray any of their roles, but I'm just not that early.
But they're roles that they know, at least in Rock's case. Let's see. Our survivor of WrestleMania 30, Carl Chenier.
Can I put my hand on my head now?
Four.
Good grief.
What bothers you, Ohai Muckety Muck?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and WWE is a major deep doo-doo.
Well, we touched on this last week, and the fact that there's a couple of law firms that are pointing fingers at WWE, and my notes specifically call them ambulance chasers, so you can guess who helped me put this together.
Yeah.
So, Jason, should I just back up and let you and give you a box of soap to stand on?
Yeah. Here. Okay. Here is the fucking deal. All right. You've got these little piss-ant law firms all over the country who are, by the way, if you notice, those press releases use the exact same language in every single one of them. Did you notice that, right? I'm sorry?
I was going to say, it's all legalese to me.
No, I'm just saying, what I'm talking about is in the promotions, the press release, there's about four or five of these ambulance chase law firm motherfuckers who are trying to make a fast buck to try and get a class action lawsuit on this bullshit. Ain't gonna happen, okay? I don't think there was any SEC or federal law. What happened was the WWE got caught with their numbers. And I don't think the numbers are as bad as what they're supposed to be. I mean, right now, what is it? I looked at the numbers are 11-17, okay, as of close of business Friday, okay?
Right.
I mean, yeah. Did they lose $20, you know, since the deal came down? Yeah. But it's one of those things that, for me, I just think they're trying to take advantage. These law firms are using any way to make a buck. And they will get clients because people are stupid. But that's just me.
No, we're just a bunch of money hungry people who wouldn't mind sticking it to the man. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm worried that this is still going to happen. But I don't think they really have much of a case, because if it really was profit-taking, Steph would have made a lot more money selling her stock at a better time.
Yeah, she would have sold it when it was at 30, not at 10, if you exactly. remember correctly. She sold it when it was low, not high.
Which is par for authority logic, but doesn't always work in the real world, Steph.
Well, don't worry, her friggin' father's not doing any better in the bloody stock markets. Hey, Vince, how's your 350 mil going? Oh, wait, that's gone. Never mind.
Yeah, gone. Yeah.
I wish I had CM Punk's line. You should have been a billionaire.
Yeah. He's a man that was a billionaire and is now a millionaire. You stupid asshole. This is what happens when you play the stock market, people.
He was a billionaire on paper for what, about a week, two?
For a couple of weeks, yeah. And then the bottom fell out when the TV deal was announced. And he thankfully did not do what I predicted he was going to do and protest the fact that, you know, his sport does so much more than all of these other sports when all this time he has been declaring himself entertainment. Maybe that's why he didn't get as good of a deal as he was trying to get.
Or maybe because of the network stuff?
The network was a huge factor, and that was something that came up in the Q&A during the firefighting session on Monday.
More like putting out big fires.
Well,
Which he didn't do, unfortunately.
But they at least made a good point when it came to when they wanted to have the network debut. They wanted it right around Mania because they knew that's how they would get a lot of people to jump on board. And now I can't find
the line. I think the line what you're trying to say was because George Barrios, who is, I believe, Vince's right-hand man, was asked if the network hurt TV negotiations and they should have delayed it. And Vince asked this question. He said, Vince, it did have a negative effect, which is a really, that's a big thing for him to say. Okay. He said that if he didn't do it this year, they would have had to have waited until 2015 because they wanted to debut before Mania. Vince said it's fair to say it affected their negotiation rights in the U.S. for the new deal. Wow. That's big to think now, but let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask the board here. Had it have been a right idea to flip it and have negotiations of the TV rights done, then go into the network in 2015?
It probably would have helped better, yeah.
Well, hindsight, though.
It probably wouldn't have that big of a loss as they have now. Now it's done.
I don't know. My other concern was, I think the timing for the network was right in one way and wrong for the TV negotiations for sure. But the debut year was right, because on an anniversary WrestleMania, you have some guaranteed clientele. Also, the fact that they have been taunting people with the network since late 2011, because it was supposed to come out in 2012.
Yeah, the first teaser came out for it.
Yeah. And if they waited another year, they probably would have had had a chance to put up more content, get things a little more organized, produce some more original content, but they had to get the network moving sooner than later. Did it affect their TV deal? Oh, hell yeah. And, you know, I'm thankful that Vince is willing to openly admit it. I just think that if they had continued to wait, that I don't think they would have gotten the numbers that they got now.
Here's what I'm thinking. Maybe if they were to introduce the price instead of $9.99 to maybe like $10, $11, or $12.99, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad.
I was with you on that one, Carl. I would have actually said not $9.99, but if you put it up like an extra $10 and made it $19.99, damn, WWE wouldn't be.
Yeah, that would have been too much, and it would have pissed off a lot of people.
With the same deal, are you telling me you wouldn't pay just $20 a month? $20 a month?
No, too much.
That's a little too much. Maybe maximum up, maybe $14.99.
And there's still concern that the price is going to go up come renewal.
It probably
time.
Will now.
Well, if I may chime in here from on high, it's Jim Williams, your friendly media correspondent here. I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast in the past, anybody who thinks this is going to stay $9.99 for the rest of the year, they're smoking the purple crayons. The price has to go up to at least cut down on the profit margin. But back to Jason's original question, you have to go back and remember the chain of events here to a certain extent. NBC Universal had an exclusive window to negotiate with WWE and vice versa. That window ended just about the time that the network actually launched in late February, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if WWE wasn't trying to hammer out a deal. They were, but they just couldn't come to terms because, let's face it, Vince asked for NASCAR or Big Four Sports League kind of money almost. And I think to your point, Nikki, where he, all these years of him billing it as sports entertainment, it kind of backfires a little bit on him. Between that and the launch of the network, giving WWE, theoretically, a place of their own, should they not have a network to call their own, it definitely hurt them. And I'm glad Vince, to a man, manned up and admitted, yeah, it definitely played a role in the fact that we couldn't get the deal we want, and the stock plummeted because of it to a certain degree.
Which, you know, it might have been smart on NBC Universal's part to go ahead and let the window close because they knew nobody else would pay that kind of money.
Absolutely. NBC Universal is probably one of two, maybe three consortiums that have that kind of money to pay out what Vince would have wanted. But keep in mind, NBC Universal, they just picked up NASCAR. Oh, they've only locked the Olympics down till the end of time, or 2032, depending on your perspective. So their priority and their pecking order, this was down the list, and rightfully so.
I tell you what, even with the Olympics, they're going to still lose money on that deal.
They haven't made a profit in years on the Olympic Games. So, yet they spent $8 billion on it. You figure it out, folks.
Yeah. Well, but here's the more interesting factor, and again, we talked about this last week as well. They only got $200 million, and remember, I think their number was $150 million the last time.
Yeah, so it's a bump 25% up.
Right, which is not even close. Excuse me, but remember, they had to trot out, they had to trot out Hulk Hogan basically saying, hey, UK guys, you know, the network's coming here, and let me tell you something. You know as well as I do, they are going to try and push the rollout as quickly as possible worldwide to get the numbers that they want, which is 2.5 to 3.8 million, somewhere in there.
You think it's going to push it up a little bit higher now because of this, worldwide?
Possibly. Well, go ahead, Nick.
They're going to have to.
They had to push up the numbers when they saw how little they were actually making, despite the fact that they're getting the full $9.99 out of us instead of the partial $9.99 for those who were willing to spend $40-$50 getting it through their cable or satellite provider.
Yeah, but here was the thing, Jason, you just touched on it with Hulk Hogan coming out and announcing the network is now available in the UK. If the reaction he got is signs of things to come, oh dear. Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for people. Holy shit. That man got no reaction whatsoever. There were about probably a few hundred people that were like, yay! The rest were just like, and?
Like, and, what the fuck? Well, keep in mind, and I linked this to everybody just an hour or two before airtime, and we'll probably talk about this a little later on. Because it was in England, both Raw and SmackDown this week, somebody got on the bird, as it were, and actually recorded the live feed of SmackDown. So what Shane heard and what you guys, if you saw some of the footage, referring to what Shane's talking about when Hulk came out, that was without audience sweetening in post-production, ladies and gentlemen. So
crickets.
What you may have heard on Friday night is different than what happened. Well, I guess it was recorded Tuesday evening or late Monday evening. I'm not sure at the O2.
It was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday at the O2? Okay. So, yeah. What you may have heard on Sci-Fi is different than the Raw feed, and the Raw feed is hilarious, I gotta say.
Oh, boy.
But we'll get to that momentarily, but,
I have a voice in my ear now. Carl, that's a nice thing here.
Exactly. Well, Carl, you're making mention of this in the chat. We're talking about the concept of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
A couple of other people have pulled it, have they not?
Yeah, besides Dish and DirecTV, UVersus decided to pull the plug, too.
UVersus AT&T, mm-hmm. which is now buying DirecTV, so it all comes full circle there.
If it gets approved, yeah.
If it gets approved. It's a merger every... Put it to you this way. Will the concept of the WWE pay-per-view as we've known it for the last 20, 25 years, let's say, within the next, say, 2 years, will it be obsolete, Jason?
It depends on the success of the network. Okay? If the network bombs, which, again, I don't see this as bad as what they're making it out to be. I really don't. I think that they're going to get their network, and they're going to get their numbers. It's just a question of rolling it out internationally. I think the only problem that we had is the no-lose situation of when you debut it and when you negotiate the TV deal. You know, I mean, the best – and Shane is exactly right. The NXT is the highlight of – one of the highlights of the network, and we're going to have a live broadcast this coming Thursday, which I cannot wait for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it depends on, like I mentioned, how it does overseas. And, more overseas viewers actually helps other companies. Look at TNA, for crying out loud.
I can speak for majority of Australians and say that if it gets live over here, then definitely heaps of people will be buying it because we don't really get much mainstream wrestling over here, so we have to obviously watch it on like pay TV and stuff like that. So if we can get that for friggin' cheaper at $9.99, I should say, then yeah, everyone will be friggin' buying that shit for sure. So that's just more viewers for Vince. But like I said, with the UK, I'm not going to go off the reaction that Hulk Hogan got, because I'm like, you can obviously see the UK fans are very passionate, like, because they're still doing something that should have died off 2 years ago, and that's the Fandangoing. Jesus Christ.
Well, the UK crowds are the UK crowds. Need one say more about that? And I'll tell you this, you mentioned TNA. One of the few times in the world, I'll give them plenty of credit, they market to the UK crowd, I think to a certain degree, better than WWE does. They've traveled over there for more frequent numbers of shows and what have you. They have they go all out in the UK.
You're right, because those UK tours are what? Usually the first 3 months, they usually tape about enough for the first 3 months of the year, or at least a month.
And they get more people in the UK than they ever could at a house show in the States, and that's a fact. That's just a straight-up fact.
Yeah, put it this way, the UK is actually TNA's best market.
Yeah, and that's
move
exactly
out there, yeah.
Well, you sad reality is they wouldn't be.
They might have no choice.
How many of the TNA stars are going to be like, oh yeah, I'll move to England?
It's more like, you want me to move to England? You're going to pay my relocation. Oh no, we can't do that. Oh, you know what? I can make more money in Japan. Bye-bye.
It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you can barely pay my fucking salary now. You're not going to pay to relocate me? Be freaking serious.
That and plus the reason I think TNA gets such a nice draw in the UK is it's, I want to say the word novelty here. It's a novelty thing. It's kind of like the NFL doing their one or two regular season games in London. It's a novelty. When it's a novelty, people will come. When it's there every week, not necessarily.
Yes, but the thing is that they also promoted very well. I believe it's Challenge TV.
Right, the game show channel.
TSN's equivalent, yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
They do full-fledged promotion there, unlike Spike, because Spike could care less about TNA. They're going to probably drop them come October.
All they care about is that bar show.
Oh, yes, Bar Rescue, which is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. Whatever.
Well, let me get back to the actual thing, Nikki. Do you think all this news this week actually put out the fire? Because I don't.
Oh, no. People are going to give WWE a much more critical eye than any other venture business-wise. Because one of the bad things about the wrestling business is that more people know the bad things that have gone on than all the good things that are going on now. And, you know, you can talk about their support of Special Olympics and Susan G. Komen and Make-A-Wish Foundation. Most people are like, yeah, these are a bunch of carnies with too much money and big ideas, and they're lying to us. I could sit back and say, you know, this is... You know, Vince is trying to work the stockholders, which is a bad idea.
John, you ain't kidding.
Because that ain't just fibbing, dude. That's against the law. And that's why I think the ambulance chasers are going to have a field day with him, because they're going to make him not only really re-examine his numbers, and he'll have to actually give them something, because you're right, this news conference didn't give us much. They continued to be vague. They tried to be corporatese, and I think that came back and bit them on the butt, which included the, where was that bump in the audio that they had? Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah. The next caller's cell was in and out. He gives them confidence that subscriber numbers will grow. George couldn't hear the call. Vince was there dangling. I think he even dropped the S-bomb when he realized he was dangling. The host put us on hold while they tried to get George and Michael Weitz back on the line. Oh, we're back. Oh, wait, we aren't. They said we were. What the hell? Okay, we're back after all. I think this is like a Three Stooges episode.
So, or, yeah. Or a BTR show.
Oh. Yes.
Or anything on here lately.
This is very true.
More on that later.
Yes. Well, let me ask you, Nikki, you know, hindsight being 2020 and we're the hindsight kind of people here, should they have even had the Monday press conference at all?
They needed to come out with something. But in this case, they needed something a little more concrete than what we got. And this really puts Vince and Barrios and all of them in a very hard, you know, very tough situation. You have overestimated where you were going to be and got a lot of people's hopes up. Now, you cannot sue for disappointment. I know people try in this country. But you cannot sue for being disappointed. But the lawyers are pretty good, and they can sue for, you didn't tell us the whole story. You didn't tell us the truth, and you're playing with our money. We want our money back.
Which is why all these class action douchebags are out there.
And unfortunately, okay. if enough of them get together, and enough of them try, and enough stuff they can get their hands on. This isn't like the steroid trials in the early 90s. There is a paper, quote-unquote, trail that can be subpoenaed. And once that's put out, once that dirty laundry is aired, Vince is screwed.
And could be the complete end of the company. Could be.
Could be, but that's an extreme case. Right. I think what's going, you know, if it got that far, I see Vince having to pay some very, very heavy fines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a couple of other organizations are going to start peeking over his shoulder to look at his labor practices.
It could set off a chain of commands, is what you're saying, pretty much.
It could set off a whole bunch of other things, because once people are looking at the money situation, they're going to say, wait a minute, these guys don't have insurance? What do you mean they're not actual employees? You know, these guys need benefits. They're in a very dangerous profession.
And they're non-union. What about the concussions? You know?
And yeah, all of this could all, you know, run together and even, you know, even bigger. And this is another reason why I think CM Punk got out while the getting was good.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
The contracts, talent contracts, are specifically worded about online content. Which means these guys might not be getting as much as they used to get from pay-per-view revenue.
And I don't think that I don't think the wrestlers still have the picture about what they're going to get paid based on the views of the network and things like that.
And YouTube hits and what have you, sure.
Right. That doesn't register in what they normally track when it comes to these guys' contracts. TV time, show appearances, guest appearances, merchandise. Online content is cheap.
Online content is cheap to do, but is a license to print money.
Indeed, but they've got to do it, and the network is a step in the right direction. The problem is how much of that actually goes back to the wrestlers.
Probably not much.
Yeah, because look at the size of this loophole. The guys would get money for anything from appearing on a pay-per-view to just appearing in a video package. Even people who are no longer with the company would still receive a royalty if their video package aired on television. if WWE ever goes completely internet, they can print all the money they want and they don't have to share it with the wrestlers. The way things are set up right this second, the wrestlers will get bupkis.
And that's simply because those contract terms were never thought of until probably the last 2-3 years when they figured, hey, this internet thing is going to be kind of big. Let's branch out and put our stake in the videos and what have you on the web and get into a more global platform. If you're a wrestler and you're not getting, like you say, you're getting bupkis, you're saying to yourself, well, can't we do something about it? But they can, but they can't. Because if you unionize, forget it. You're as good as gone.
Yeah. It's like watching an episode of Justice for All.
Yeah. One other question I have, and then maybe we can move on. It depends if there are any other aspects you want to talk about this. And Jason and I had a back and forth about this where we sort of disagreed, but I'm going to ask you, Nikki, and the others as well. There are enough articles I've read over the last week saying that now might be the time that Vince either resigns or gets ousted as chairman. I'll start with you and then go around the room. Nikki, do you think we're going to see the end of Vince in the CEO role of the company?
In the words of the man himself, oh, hell no! They will have to pry the company from Vince's cold, dead hands. It will take a legal battle to oust Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's already, you know, he's been through big legal malarkey like this before, but it would be unfair to drop this in Hunter's lap. While Hunter's got a better, you know, probably has a more affable presence in front of the press and in front of a legal team, Vince will fight for his company whether he's on his feet or he's in a wheelchair from quad surgery. It doesn't matter. He's not going to step back from this.
Mm-hmm.
His name's on it. He has to fight.
Carl, do you agree?
Yeah, a little bit of yes, a little bit of no.
Shane?
I don't know. I agree with Nikki that you would have to pry the company from Vince's cold, dead hands, yes. I don't think it would actually be too unfair on Mr. Paulovic due to the fact that he's actually... and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but he's actually doing a lot. He's done a lot for the company since becoming COO than Vince has done in many years. Like, he's done impossible things. Like, he's helped build up NXT and make it, like we said earlier, the highlight thing for the network. The thing that's probably going to keep the network alive for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's done the training center and signed Bruno Sammartino as well to get into the Hall of Fame, which Vince couldn't do to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Carl, you want to jump back in?
Yeah, this is not like the NBA situation with the Sterlings. Vince is a lot more anal about this.
And in a good sense, a good sense when it comes to meticulous with his craft.
To the point where he micromanages too much.
Yeah.
We've heard for many years that he's too hands-on. And that when you have a guy like him, you know, we've heard reports that wrestlers are like, well, what do we do? And there's one voice is Triple H, and then Vince changes his mind, and then Triple H has to go back and, you know, be put in the middle of this because it's Vince's baby, you know?
But is that the problem, though? Like I know everyone's saying, like, Vince does too much, but is that the problem? Is that how Vince McMahon has gotten in this position that he is in?
I think to a certain extent it is.
He's putting his finger in one too many pies, and he's just got caught now.
He didn't
take a step back and go, oh, crap, this is going to get me in a lot of trouble here.
I think to a certain extent, Shane, it is. I mean, he's going to be 70 years old in a couple of years. And I'm not saying that he's too old to be running a company. We've seen promoters who have, you know, run companies into their 70s, 80s. That's no thing. But there comes a time and time and point when you have to say to yourself, cede to the next guy. And I don't know that he's fully ready to relinquish control of, as was aptly said, his baby. This is his baby that he's, you know, made a worldwide juggernaut over the course of the last three decades. Go ahead, Shane.
I was gonna say, of course he's made it his baby, and it's like one of his bigger eldest children. But damn, man, it would be if he had someone like Eric Bischoff or friggin' Dixie Carter to below him, and that he had to hand the company over to them. Then hell yeah, I'd say Vince, keep going till you're 100, keep going.
Right.
But like I said, he's got Stephanie and he's got Triple H there, and like I said, Triple H has actually done really well as COO, and I honestly see bright future for WWE with him at the helm. So,
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Shane, because that reminds me of another topic that kind of tangentially talks about the finances. Of all people, Mick Foley brought this up on Facebook, and he has a theory about one of the reasons why. Another reason why stockholders have been selling off, and I don't want to say taking profits, because really you're not taking profits when you're going down two-thirds from a recent high.
Hang on. If you're talking about the same Facebook freaking video I've seen, mate.
No. I'm not talking about the decision. No.
Okay, good. I was about to say.
I'm not talking about the decision. He made a post.
Because they're not. If stockbrokers are having trouble because they're not wearing fanny packs, and there's something going on.
He's not taking his talents down there for sure.
Fanny packs for the win, as the kids say, yes. But let me see if I can bring up the post here. It pretty much talked about one of the other reasons why the company may be what it is. And it's because for some, I'll stress the word some, and here it is. It's called A Serious Question for WWE. And he posted this after Raw this week, matter of fact. Could it be, I'm going to quote him here, could it be following the precipitous tumble of WWE stock that having real-life WWE Chief Operating Officer Paul Levesque and Chief Brand Officer Stephanie McMahon performing simultaneous duties as the on-air quote-unquote authority is simply not best for business? Could it be, more or less, what he's asking is the fact that you know what they really do in real life, yet you see them portraying a different, you know, caricature of what an authoritative figure is like. For some shareholders, those that may not be smart or may not even be wrestling people, they're just looking for a cheap buy and trying to ride the wave. Could that be a problem, do you think?
Hell no.
Actually, no. Jim's got a point. One of the big knocks with Vince McMahon, but wrestlers will, you know, wrestlers joke about this. What you see of Vince on screen on Raw is pretty much the way he is, period. Triple H isn't like that. Triple H is actually a pretty nice guy. I've had the honor of shaking his hand a couple of times. He is an absolute gentleman when he wants to be. And the portrayal of the evil authority figure that he does so well and that Stephanie was born and bred for could be, that's, I realize this sounds like schmuck bait, but this is something that the ambulance chasers are going to go get. And they're going to play authority videos at the trial and say, this is who's running the company. Can we trust them?
And And sorry, and I'm going to pull a little red state, blue state here, okay? Remember what they used to denigrate Linda McMahon?
Jim Ross getting kicked in the balls.
Right.
Just attitude era footage.
Right. And, you know, don't talk about the fact that she was the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. That she did run this whole thing. And she made it a success, or at least was success. No, she was kicking Jim Ross in the nads. So you are absolutely 100% right, Jim and Nikki. Both of you are.
All right. Well, again, hang
the
on,
credit
hang
to
on.
Mick Foley. He's the one who gave us the concept to think about. So.
But Shane may have a counterpoint.
I've got a bloody counterpoint. Are you worried about that? Hang on. But let's not forget, okay? Vince McMahon made this frigging clear, okay, like ages ago, when he did that sit-down promo that he did, saying that this is entertainment, it's not bloody real, everything you see is scripted, yada yada, all that BS. Now,
however,
anyone that's watched the product, and I know not many stockbrokers and crap might not watch the product, but you will know that there's a difference between Triple H, the superstar, and Paul Levesque, the man. Like, Triple H was a wrestler way before he became the COO of the company. Way before.
I have a counterpoint to your counterpoint.
Okay.
Does anybody remember the Raw is Trump episode and what that did in the stock market?
Yeah.
Your move, Shane.
Yeah.
Because anytime you have Donald Trump on a freaking thing, stock's gonna plummet, okay?
It's huge. Huge.
Meanwhile, Shane McMahon's glad he got out when he did.
Maybe hand over fist in China.
But Nikki has an absolute point, has a very good point. Because most of the financial journalists don't know research if it bit him in the ass. Most journalists in general, thank you very much.
Yes.
The idea is the idea of perception being reality. Mick Foley has an absolutely correct point. While we know if the stock were to go the right way, the authority would have to just basically go bye-bye on TV. And it's not going to happen. You know?
Yeah, but okay. This is what we're talking about, though. Like, this is where you're mixing the like reality from fiction thing, because these stockbrokers are taking the product so friggin' seriously that they're saying, "Oh, okay, Paul Levesque is this guy that we see on friggin' TV. He's not playing a role and all that." If you honestly believe that BS, then why the hell did you put money in the friggin' plate? Thing in the first place, watched the product. If you've watched it, you obviously watch a product before you put money into something, correct?
No, not necessarily.
Remember, this is WWE is a publicly traded company. Emphasis on public.
Public.
Yeah, I would sneeze at that too. Actually, no pun intended, Jason.
I think Jason caught it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, the public, by and large, doesn't follow the product. I mean, remember, the ratings Raw gets and SmackDown gets, it's a fraction, not even a percent, maybe 1% of the entire population of a nation, let's say, of the United States. So it's, you know, people are going for anything that's, you know, that's a hot commodity, and the buy low, sell high mentality and whatnot. And then you see what you're buying into. Some people who have never seen the product, and I would venture to say there are a certain percentage of those who own shares in WWE who have never seen the product on a regular basis and don't know, Triple H, the authority figure / wrestler, from Paul Levesque, the COO. So, I don't know.
All I know is we need to get off this topic quick, Smart, because I freaking hate politics and the freaking stock market bullshit.
I'm waiting for Maria Bartiromo to show up in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, and Jason's motto, of course, is, I'm right, motherfuckers.
All I need is for Nancy Grace to show up, and I'm just going to smack somebody.
I forgot Jason's more a Bloomberg guy.
In the little room there, I think.
Yeah, Nancy's been here, but we told her that was the green room over there.
There you go.
No, actually, you told her there were a bunch of top moms in there that needed their stories to be told, and you know she loves her a good top mom.
Aaron Hernandez.
Okay. Let's get on a better track.
We're going on the train? Woohoo!
Well, actually, I want to talk about something fun here. The fact that, you know, usually I don't dog on the product, but I hate to say it, the stuff that we aren't supposed to see is a lot more entertaining than the stuff we saw this week.
Oh, jeez. God, this week was awful. Here we go.
Well, first of all, somebody got on the bird and stole either a pre-show dark or a superstars match. And we got to look at 10 minutes of Sami Zayn versus Adrian Neville.
That was a pre-show dark match. And hello.
Oh, it was pretty. Oh, it was so pretty.
I have seen the future. Yes.
I have seen the future, and it is beautiful. And WWE said, stop that, and pulled it down.
You can't see that just yet.
No. Not you want to see that? Watch NXT by the network.
I sense a mole being planted somewhere in internally.
I also believe that's the same one that got a hold of a completely unedited, uncensored, complete with back talk and commercial breaks, quote-unquote, feed of SmackDown that apparently I need to see.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
Pun fully intended, this was the Raw feed of SmackDown.
But what was I going to say? It's very interesting, though. I got a question. Who's the one who said there's a leak? Do you think that these are, quote-unquote, worked leaks?
I think they're worked leaks because Vince got extremely pissed over the last one. That guy doesn't have a job anymore.
Well,
you mean the guy who's with the scripts?
Yeah, the guy that sent out the scripts, man. He got found and freaking.
I think more in this case, it's just the fact that since it was an international broadcast, it's a lot easier to go find.
Yeah, it's harder to scramble.
People have access.
Sorry. I really hope Vince doesn't get pissed at this, though, because Vince, this is exactly what your company needs. Like, I honest to God believe that this will be the thing that helps the company, like, stop treating the fans like dumbasses and show them that even your great company makes mistakes. It might humanize you a little bit, but it works. I enjoyed listening to Tony Schimmel have to do his introduction of Jimmy Hart 7 times over because he kept stuffing up over and over and over again. It's like
Wildline.
I'll say this. Vince is smart in the fact that he makes you pay to see these flubs. Having attended several SmackDowns myself, I haven't seen too many incidents like that. And sometimes they'll even try to cover it up.
And not in a very good way either. Yeah.
Well, okay. You won't see it on the final broadcast, but I attended a SmackDown. Granted, I know this was, you know, this was 2004, but it was still funny. We had a Bob Holly versus Booker T match. And it was a long match that ended in a roll-up. And I remember that. I forgot who won, who lost, but the loser picked up a microphone and said, "Get back out here. I'm not done yet." And they did a quick 2-3 minute match with the exact same finish.
Probably an edit job.
Right, but it was extra entertainment. We had one SmackDown I attended. I got to see Chavo Guerrero versus Billy Kidman, a match that they had a great idea for a finish, but it just wasn't going to work. And in fact, the live crowd, the people that were attending, got to see. I think it was Chavo got up, looked at the handheld in the ring, and said, "Wait, one more time," and went to get back up on the ropes to do whatever they were going to try to do.
Botch.
Just the saying.
Magic of editing.
But, you know, not many people are privy to the what's called raw feed. I'm privy to this because I've worked in television, and I used to have access to a satellite where I was asked to work a weekend, and before my boss left, he says, "You will not tune the satellite to watch the Super Bowl. You will not allow the security guards to come up and watch with you, and you will not order pizza." I assure you that none of these things actually happened, but the announcers are hilarious in commercial breaks, I swear.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yeah.
So how was Pat Summerall during the break? Was he sloshing him back? That's wrong. I'm sorry.
No. It's the one thing that a lot of people just don't think, you know, they only see the finished product. If people saw how much hell we go through, that television production goes through to give you a polished product, I think there'd be a little more appreciation.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a lot of ridicule.
Jim can relate a little bit too.
No appreciation for this sapsucker, though.
Yeah. What do you want?
Here, you want my S5?
Yeah, let me see that. And I opened the email to a giant... Woo!
Oh, sweet God. We're going to talk about this.
We already knew that Ric Flair wasn't fully retired when he decided to jump back to TNA, then he jumped back to WWE. He might even be doing a little bit more. They're going to be testing him to see if there's any blood in his alcohol stream.
Damn.
What else we got here? Adam Rose it's believed that Adam Rose is conspiring to get Zack Ryder back on TV. This could cost him his job. I doubt that. Besides, Zack Ryder looks cool in a bunny suit. Let's see. And... you don't have to believe. But Bo Dallas came out to a rousing round of indifference. I really got to watch this live feed. I know I'm not going to have time tonight.
As a famous wrestler would say, fuck the tonight.
Well... for the moment, though, time out. Carl, Jim, whichever one of you guys is actually recording this nonsense, please cue up some commercials.
That would be me.
Carl, if you would be so kind. I'll get the restrooms unlocked and the vending machine should be plugged in. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source.
Hey, future body changers, it's me, John Cena. Think of your favorite food right now. What is it? Pastry, ice cream, cookies, beer, pizza, whatever it is. What would you say if I told you you could lose weight and eat your favorite foods? Well, you can. With the 10 weeks body change program for one day a week, you can eat as much of your favorite foods as you want. You heard it from me. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, you have a huge selection of foods to choose from that'll help you lose weight. Here's the kick. You can eat as much of those foods as you want to. No craving, no starving, just losing. It is officially change time.
You love your pets, so you keep them healthy by buying expensive supplements. Unfortunately, your pets don't like to take the supplements. You've tried hiding pills in food and forced it down, only for them to spit it back out. There has to be a better way. Pause 5. Two quick, delicious peppermint sprays in your pet's mouth for a full day. Protecting them 5 ways. Coat and skin, teeth and nails, joints, eyes, and immune system. No more forcing pills down your pet's mouth. You would spend over $200 buying these supplements individually. Or Pause 5 for under $35 includes all 5 supplements in one. Order online and receive free shipping anywhere in the U.S. www.pause5.com.
Unlike my cohorts here, I bought gifts.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yes. I have every running gag in BS Big Show history rolled into one big mess for us. Tim Tebow and Andy Reid holding TC and Benoodles while writing Pinkie Pie, who suffered from those three letters everybody hates, A-C-L. And what's that protruding from Pinkie Pie's dumper? Of course it's the 200th episode commemorative turkey baster.
Oh,
shit.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can't write this.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because you forgot half a douche. That's what you forgot.
The BS Big Show, only on CLWA3.
Away from your computer? That's no problem. Take CLW83 Podcast with you wherever you go with the TuneIn Radio app. Download the free TuneIn app from the App Store or Google Play. Then search for CLW83 to connect to the latest editions of the NAWC, Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, and all of your other favorite CLW83 programs. CLW83, online, on demand, and on the go with the TuneIn app for Apple and Android devices. Download it today.
We're going to bring the cup back home. All right, let me hear you. A 1, a 2, a 3. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back. For it's one.
I wish I could have retired at 35.
And got hitched to AJ Lee in my case.
Yeah, that was the other big surprise at the Cubs game, that CM Punk announced / proposed to AJ in front of the Chicago crowd, if I understood correctly.
No, what happened was he was being interviewed and he basically said, "Yeah, I'm getting married next month." And they didn't really mention it, and that's actually being played into AJ's return because they're giving her time to actually get married. My personal I can't say what I'm thinking because it might get edited out, but
I can sum it up in two words, Jason: lucky bastard.
No, I was not thinking that. I was thinking that, you know, probably, you know, Triple H or somebody criticized him. Hey, now that you're married, maybe you can talk to him more often, you know? Bring him back.
Oh, stop the pain.
No, that's business. That's why Punk is going to get married quickly and privately, because there is a long laundry list of wrestlers who want to crash this wedding.
Oh, God. I want to see the party at that wedding. Oh, my God. Let's see. Cole Cabana. Let's see. Domino. Lita.
Chris Hero. Yeah.
Chris Hero. Right. Joey Mercury. Paul Heyman.
Does anyone else find that weird, though? Anyone else find that weird if you bring your ex to a wedding? Like, damn. Come on now. Be a bit honest.
They're still friends.
They're still friends. That's cool, but just... I've never met many women that are cool with an ex being brought to a wedding. Not many. Although that would make for a great TMZ video. Age bride attacks wedding guest.
Okay, cameras at the reception for the AJ Lita cat fight into the cake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With the picture of AJ as a teenager meeting Leah for the first time.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, and when it is over, they are both covered in cake, and AJ is in tears.
Yes, exactly, right. Oh, my God.
It writes itself. Why aren't we on creative?
Hmm. No, but honestly, though, I think CM Punk is doing the 79-95 sort of wedding. You know?
He's going to Vegas.
If that.
In the drive-thru.
And he doesn't even have to sedate her.
Oh, shit. Oh,
people.
Good. Too soon? Yeah. No, what? But seriously.
Too soon? It's been over 10 years.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... No, I just find it funny. I'm just imagining them just like, you know, sitting around going, you know, how much do we want to spend? Oh, $200. All right, let's go. Just get all their friends. I just don't see it being an expensive wedding. I just don't.
Hey, Punk, yeah, you know, are you friends with any of the Flying Elvises? Go to Cincinnati.
I can see Punk going down the aisle wearing a pair of jeans and one of those fake tuxedo t-shirts.
Yes!
With the sleeves ripped off.
Yes!
Of course! Gotta show the tats, gotta show the guns.
And a Gracie hoodie.
And when he gets right to the back of the aisle, it's clobbering time.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I can imagine the same thing, just him wearing a tux with the friggin' writing on the back, best groom in the world.
But you have seen him. He all joking aside, Nikki, you have seen him clean up nice, and he has worn tuxes before, and he has worn suits before.
Punk does clean up nice, but it still amuses, just, it is an amusing image of him, that he would show up at his wedding, that AJ would actually skip down the aisle, she wouldn't be given away. Punk would be waiting for her with the tuxedo t-shirt with the sleeves ripped off, his hair slicked back, brand new lip ring, probably brand new tats, but he's got to wear a shirt to the wedding.
And the GM computer.
And Colt Cabana up there doing the Princess Bride. Marriage.
Oh, my God.
Somebody else.
Wow, Malwitch.
With this lip ring, I the wed.
The wed, yes.
Yes. Yes.
So this is what it must have felt like to beat Jason Block on that fifth day of Jeopardy.
We'll talk about Jeopardy later. Oh, but it is also funny that CM Punk actually broke Twitter silence this week. Did you know that?
Yeah, but he didn't say nothing about wrestling.
No, he was talking about hockey.
Which is his other favorite subject besides AJ.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we did get some pretty, bad Twitter news this week about Scott Hall.
Hmm.
Ugh, damn it.
Fill me in.
It wasn't actually bad news because...
there's an update to that. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, update was he had a clean bill of health, so good news.
Let's start with the bad news so we can get to the good news.
Supposedly he had a slip back. Supposedly he had a slip back.
He didn't tweet for a couple of days in that time period.
Okay.
And he was supposed to do an event. He actually got 50% of the payment that he was supposed to get up front, and his agent said he would actually pay that back. So.
Okay, let me see right quick. Tweet on the 17th. Thank you to everyone for all your concern and support. And then next tweet was yesterday. So about a week almost, and then now he's got a clean bill of health.
Just, it's a scare, and
these slip-ups can happen.
I'm told that you can never be fully cured of alcoholism.
Yeah.
And that's something that Scott's going to struggle with for the rest of his days, even with DDP nearby.
Mm-hmm. It happens, and then, of course, his latest pictures, he's aging his hair back 20 years, apparently.
Still being a member of the Hair Club for Men, huh?
Yeah, he's going to be doing something for the WWE Network upcoming.
So all he had to do was go grab some Eric Bischoff shoe polish. Thank you.
So yeah, he's back to regularly tweeting.
No, that's good. We're talking about so many things outside of the ring. We haven't got anywhere near what's been going on. I mentioned Adam Rose earlier, and I want to mention him again just for what he did on SmackDown. And I wonder if this was her send-off. I am jealous of Vicky Guerrero for being carried off like a she-martyr, screaming at the top of her lungs. That's how heels are supposed to go. When she was accused of being a lemon... She, of course, protested in her wonderfully screechy voice that she was not. To which she was unceremoniously carried out of the arena to go join the party, protesting the entire way.
Well, she did post her grades this week.
Oh, that was her send-off.
Yeah, I think it was.
That was it.
What a way to go. Carried off by a penguin, a cheeseburger, and
a bunny.
You'll play Hungry Hungry Hippos in a bus.
And pretty much any royalties from stuff on Eddie, she'll get for the rest of her life. So she's set.
Well, I want to ask you, if this is her send-off, as you say, Carl, but I'm going to ask you, Nikki, how amazing was she to have a pretty much a 9-year run after Eddie's death, to be one of the top heat machines of all time, not just of this generation, of all time.
She had a great teacher, and that's not a joke.
I think someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I do believe she was actually voted the most hated woman in wrestling. Because I do remember they, I think they asked her about that in an interview. How does it feel being known as the most hated woman in all of wrestling?
Yeah, I think you.
And she said she loved it.
Yeah, I think you could retire the term X-Pac heat now. Mm. Call it Vicky heat.
I usually call it Michael Cole heat.
Or oh, God, she
just
was,
straight
she
up go away heat. But this is a woman who, first of all, she had a great teacher in Eddie, who was you know, pretty strong on the mic. And a lot of people, you know, even with the exaggerated accent, because he didn't really have that thick of an accent. Vicky could affect it. But she was better off screeching into that microphone like an alley cat. And I've said this on the show many times before. She found that button. She's that one grade school teacher that you hated. That one grade school teacher. I even had a grade school teacher who would use excuse me to try to shut us up.
I remember mine. Abby Nossoff, fourth grade. Crazy bitch.
Can't believe you can remember that far back. I can't.
I remember my entire list of my kindergarten to sixth grade. I could do it.
Yeah,
do you remember your classmates, the Velociraptors and the Stegosaurus?
Oh, okay.
So did you have a gal named Slag Hoople in your class?
Ooh, oh wow! My turn in the barrel of shit today. Okay, just see. No, but seriously, you're absolutely right. She channeled that. She went for the market that the kids hated. Oh my God! And in a way that not anyone could do.
The fact that she didn't even have to. She could just walk out and would get booed.
Yeah, I said this in the chat. I'll say this here as well. Eddie had the Latino heat, as we all know. Vicky had the Cougar heel heat. That's just.
Oh yeah.
She comes out and calls herself a Cougar, and Jesus Christ, everyone jumped on her. It's like, get up! It's like, holy crap. But she was brilliant at it. And like you said, Nikki, she had a great teacher in Eddie, and Eddie taught her a lot of great things before he passed. So it was like, it was good stuff. Very good stuff.
Well, okay. The run in 2008, I'm going to remember, when she was married to Edge. And when Edge was found out to be... slipping the rated R superstar to Alicia Fox, and when she rehired the Undertaker and put him in Hell in a Cell, the look on her face was priceless. It was beautiful.
I think the stuff with Edge was her best work.
Yeah. Between what she did to get back at Edge, and then a promo before SummerSlam that year, I recall, where Edge just completely lost his mind. And you almost felt sorry for him, and he was the heel. You almost felt sorry for him because he had completely, utterly snapped to the point he looked at her and he says, you know what? Bring it. I want to do this. Go ahead. Throw me to the Undertaker.
Send me to hell, but you're coming to hell with me.
Yeah. Chills. Oh, chills. And I was at SummerSlam 08. And that was so much fun. Still one of the better Hell in a Cell matches. Thank you very much. I might be biased. What other nonsense do I need to talk about?
And we can't forget this. One of Vicky Guerrero's other highlights, okay? She created her own finishing move, okay? She created the hog splash. I mean, come on now. I mean, damn. That was the most devastating move in all of wrestling.
I'm just proud of her. She is a braver woman than I. I have never ventured to the top rope for anything.
But she definitely has come a long way. She definitely has come a long way since the time when she stuffed up at SummerSlam. What was it? 04? 04. Yeah, it was SummerSlam 04 when it was Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero for the custody of Dominic, and she didn't show up on cue.
Oh, yes, and Eddie could be heard on the arena mics. Where the hell is Vicky?
Nah, I think he's a little more expletive there.
Dropped a few F-bombs.
I would remember my cues. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, have fun, Ms. Guerrero. You have done even more for the business and left a legacy behind that your late husband would be very proud of. And speaking of legacies, yeah, this is a heck of a night to be recording. We are recording on May the 23rd, 2014. This is the 15th anniversary of the Over the Edge tragedy.
15 years! Wow!
The night we lost Owen Hart. Now, just like with Eddie's passing, everybody remembers where they were and how they got the news. Mine was kind of strange because I wasn't as into wrestling at the time when it happened, but I actually heard it on the radio on my way home from work one night.
Because it made worldwide news.
Yeah, it hit the newspapers.
It was a shock to me that that's where I would hear it. I would have expected to hear it from a buddy of mine in Hawaii that I was talking to at the time, because he was big into wrestling. He watched WCW and WWF, kept up with both, and we would talk here and there about it. But I would think I would have heard it from him first. I wasn't expecting to hear it on the radio coming home from work.
I tell you what, back in the days of the late 90s and all, pay-per-view could be in the form of something they call a scrambled channel, where you would get audio, but you would get like the picture all kind of combobulated and all.
Right.
That's how I found out, because I used to listen to these pay-per-views every time. Both companies.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, let me hear this. Jason, where were you? How did you find out? What happened?
Wow. This was 1999, so I was with my friend. I honestly don't remember where or how I found this out. I really don't. It's been so long. Because it's just like, it's because, but I do remember getting the word that Owen Hart had, you know, passed away. And it was stunning. Stunning how insane this was, you know?
And back then, you didn't really have internet that much to talk about it.
No.
This was a fledgling internet era, so this was something that was going to travel by word of mouth, but was important enough that, yeah, it made real news.
Mm-hmm.
It made actual newspaper. I believe it was mentioned on SportsCenter. And just, you know, just the utter shock. And to be honest, and I'm not trying to downplay the importance of this, I'm surprised that this did not cause a PR nightmare for the Fed after it happened. Or I don't recall a big stink.
There was a big stink. Because there was a big investigation at the time.
Right.
With the equipment and all, yeah.
With the equipment, yes. Exactly.
And plus there was it was controversy that they continue on with the show after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I remember.
The people in the arena, the Kemper Arena,
were
not informed of Owen's passing, if at all. If they were informed, it would have been after the event was over at the end, but I don't even think that happened. They would go home and find out or be stopped by a reporter who was on the scene at the Kemper Arena. Matter of fact, one of said reporters on the scene would later become a member of the WWF, and Jonathan Coachman, I believe he got his, you know, start not long after, because he was a reporter in Kansas City, kind of a right place, right time situation, ironically enough. I remember seeing it with my dad. We were in the living room, we were watching it, and we were in disbelief. And what I remember more, though, was the night after. The tribute show they put together on Raw.
Yeah, exactly. That was insane. That was nuts.
And they couldn't have done it any better if they tried, the tribute show. It was the right tone, the right way to do it. The hell with the angles, just wrestle, go out there, put on the best matches that you can out of respect for your fallen comrade. And the in-between tributes from wrestlers and people on the roster was moving, to say the least, that Monday night. I don't know, and I always look at things from a broadcasting aspect. I don't know how Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler could have called the matches those two nights, Sunday night when they heard of his passing and Monday night. I know there's the saying the show goes on, but I don't know how the hell they did it, but they did it.
I do remember the Monday night. And I remember how the show ended, because everyone was wondering what Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to do. Because remember, this was right after he got injured, or near he got injured, right?
Less than a year after. It was, I think, SummerSlam 98 that he got injured. 98 or 97.
97.
Well, it was within close proximity, yeah, with the neck
surgery. And that basically changed his career. So I remember specifically Austin's music coming out, hit, and if I remember correctly, he brought out two beers, opened one, drank another, and left and toasted Hart on screen.
Yep.
If I remember that image.
They put up Owen's in memoriam graphic, and he toasted to it on the Titantron.
Yeah. And that's how the show ended. If I remember correctly,
it was poignant. It was perfect. Because he would later acknowledge this years later as well. He doesn't have any ill will towards Owen for what happened. It was just a freak accident, more or less.
He did for a little while.
Well, he did for a little while, but he eventually, as the years went on, and I think he said it on his podcast, he got over it. And you know,
tell you what, next year when we get to it, when we talk about the 10-year anniversary of Eddie, yeah.
Mm. 10 years of Eddie, yeah. But what I'm saying is this. Owen, I don't know where Owen would have been if he was around right now. Do you have any clue?
No.
Too hard to say. Could he have had the big belt? Absolutely. He had the talent. He had the drive. And obviously, to his dying day, he was willing to do anything. And that's the kind of ingredients. Those are the set of ingredients for somebody who wants to be a champion in this business at the highest level. I'm not saying he would have been. But he's a lifer. For God's sakes, he would have been a lifer. And he would have done just about anything to get the crowd either for him or against him. He'd be wrestling to this day. I truly, firmly believe if he was alive in 2014, We'd be talking about a Monday Night Raw recently where Owen Hart was a part of things. He would not have retired. He would still be active in the ring. It's in his DNA. It was in his DNA to be a performer, if you will, a wrestler. I'd like to think he would have held the WWE Championship at some point, out of just respect for his work ethic and his longevity. But we'll never know. It's a fun question to hypothesize about, though, Jason.
What I also really love was the fact that Owen Hart's peak was WrestleMania 10, I think. Does that make sense to you?
Brother versus brother?
That was an amazing match. It probably was his best singles match ever.
Yeah.
I would say so. And if you look at everything and say that was his best match, a damn fine match to call it. But, I mean, he was so versatile. He could do tag team. He could do the comedic shtick. I always got a kick out of one of his last gimmicks where he was the Blackheart, the sole survivor that was lampooned by DX, in the mid to late 90s. He could be an effective face. He could be an effective heel because you could see he was having fun out there. And there are enough talent that just go through the motions. And Nikki, on an independent level, you know this firsthand. There are enough talent out there. They're just going through the motions and forgetting, you know what? This is a business, but you know what? I'm supposed to have some fun because I'm trying to provide fun for the audience. And Owen was like that. You could tell the smile, the joy. He put his all into it.
And he was also renowned as a backstage prankster. To the point that Kayfabe News decided to do a tribute to Owen in probably the best way possible, and I've got to read this. Proving that his sense of humor is still intact 15 years after his untimely passing, the late professional wrestler Owen Hart pulled a clever prank, or a rib, on our dear God in heaven. While the Lord was out of his holy office, listening to prayers and keeping the universe in motion, Owen sneaked up to the golden throne and replaced the pillow with a balloon full of milk. While he was at it, he replaced God's favorite robe with one of ravishing Rick Rude's sequined blue robes. After God unwittingly sat on the balloon, he was splattered with milk. He reached for a clean robe, only to be surprised to find a garish robe reading simply ravishing on the back. According to Davy Boy Smith, who saw the whole thing happen but insists he wasn't directly involved, the prank was bloody hilarious. Kurt Hennig and I were peeing ourselves behind the pearly gates, he said. God reportedly laughed off the prank since this wasn't the first time he had been ribbed by Owen. In fact, last year, Owen made a series of prank calls to God, pretending to be Vince McMahon and insisting that God was contractually obligated to perform one more tag team match with Shawn Michaels.
Nice. Very good. Sacrilegious bastard.
Wherever you are, Owen, you are fondly remembered. And If anything, the network is going to show a new generation just how much a wrestling persona and a wrestling company will do for when the show must go on.
I do remember, though, I think this was mentioned in Mick Foley's book. They were doing sort of like a no-holds-barred match, and I think Owen sold a bag of popcorn like
yes.
It was death.
Yes. that just gives you the kind of mentality this man had, and I mean that in the most loving way.
And I believe they did this bit all around Europe, if I remember the story right, and I apologize if I don't. But every time they would do a no-holds-barred match, they would get this big-ass bag of popcorn. Foley would hit him with it, the popcorn would explode, and Owen would sell it like it was nothing. Beautiful.
He would sell it like it was a sledgehammer to the head.
Yeah. Beautiful. God bless him.
God rest his soul. He was. His likes will not be found in the business too often these days. Put it to you that way.
So, I think I'm gonna call it a show on that note.
Let's all have some popcorn now. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll split some popcorn after.
Make sure Ralphus is nowhere near it.
Oh, please.
Ew. So let's see. Jason, I'm sure you have a few things to promote.
Yeah, I do. Jim, we are definitely doing a Red State Blue State this weekend. We are definitely going to do that. Last weekend was just technologically involved. And oh boy. Could you do me a favor and hit a can.wave wave for me, please, Nikki? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Brian and I had an awesome episode of Pixel Nation, which we recorded. We talked about some stuff. And then Carl played me back a section of the tape, and it was technologically FUBAR!
F-U Skype?
Yes. F-U Skype and F-U call graph, okay?
Yeah, the dreaded 7-second delay.
Yeah, exactly. Little second decade array. We're going to reattempt it with some of the news from this week and some of the news last week. However, Jim, you got to hear this. This was really cool. I got to interview the Jeopardy Battle of the Decades winner, Brad Rutter, this week. And we talked about the win. We talked about his show, Pub Quiz, which you can hear at pubquizcomedy.com. And we talked about Jeopardy and the good stuff. It's about 15 minutes, and it's up on CLW 83.
But hey, most Carl, importantly, you talked about Eagles draft picks.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did, because he's a huge Eagles fan. So, some good stuff.
Indeed.
Oh, and Jason, I have a serious question for you.
Yes.
With our dear president interrupting Price is Right, are you going to talk about that on Red State, Blue State, or yes. WLTI?
Both, actually. Jim, you saw that.
Don't get me started. Please don't.
Yeah, I'm not going to get you started, but I will on Red State,
Blue
State.
Too late tonight to do it, yeah.
But I was going to say, I don't want to send anybody running down that golden road.
down the internet, yes.
Oh, because people are stupid, okay? People are morons. They're more concerned about seeing Drew Carey than actually dealing with, you know, well.
Anyway. By the way, happy birthday, Drew, you lucky guy getting it on with a porn model. Now,
he's still on. The porn model, or is he?
I think he is.
Okay, lucky
bastard. That's something you won't find on Touch 'Em All, though, Smirk.
No, you
see
won't.
How I bring it back full circle? That's how we do this in the business.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a segue.
Yes, it is. And I ride. Wait a minute. They don't have anyway.
Never mind. Go on.
Yes.
Too easy.
Yeah, Touch 'Em All. We're going to record our next episode probably next weekend because, well, I'll explain why in a second. But big injury to the Texas Rangers. Oof. Prince Fielder's season is likely done.
OVA.
Yeah, Santa Maria.
Yeah.
We'll also talk about some other things. The most recent episode's up right now, including a fun edition of eBay Price is Right, where you, yes, you, could bid on a Hawk Harrelson autographed microphone. You poor person. But give a listen to that, and also facebook.com/touchemall. I try to have a couple of interesting stories up every day, some serious, some completely doofus. And also, if I may give a shout-out, as the kids say, by the time you listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, I guess I can call them my alma mater, technically, Cumberland County College, the Dukes, will be playing in the NJCAA Division III Baseball World Series. They're in Tyler, Texas. Hey, Typho, how you doing, buddy? And they're going to do their thing, and hopefully they can make some more history and become, for the first time in the college's history, national champions at D3. That would be awesome. Keith Gorman and the crew, best of luck to you guys, and we'll probably chronicle that on Touch 'Em All, too. So there you go.
Shane, did you have anything to promote?
Yes, I do. WWE is currently looking for new writers due to the fact that they've got shit ones now. No, I...
Stop that.
I'm sorry, I never have anything to bring in for a moment. I have to come up with things, Nikki, you know this? Damn.
Well, normally I don't have something, I don't have anything to promote, but I have got to, I want to talk about this.
You skipped something.
What'd I skip? I'm gonna come back to you, Carl.
Okay.
I got it, because normally I don't promote anything, and you've got bigger news than I do, so.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I used to travel with a wrestler in the Ohio area named James Avery. He wrestled under the name Carlton Kaz in Ohio and Indiana, and most of us just knew him as Jobber. Well, this Jobber has an official school in Ohio if you want to learn to be a wrestler. It's known as the Central Ohio Pro Wrestling Academy. And they recently had a seminar with former ECW and WWE talent Rhino. The school is accepting applications for 2015. If you are interested, the address is copwa.com, or check them out on Facebook. And Mr. Avery is very, very educated in his craft. I think that you will see some successes out of his academy in the coming years. And I'm not doing this to butter you up, Jobber. Now, Carl, I apologize.
No problem. All right. Hey, Jim, we have a little bit of a surgery to do on a certain podcast, don't we?
Bubblegum and duct tape, yes. No.
No.
Do tell.
The BS Big Show is in a little short hiatus until middle June when we come back when minicamps start. And oh boy. Signings and leavings and yeah.
Legal action from former NFL players.
Oh boy.
It's going to be cray cray.
Yeah, we'll be back around the middle of June. Target date to be probably around the 11th or 12th, one of those days.
Something along those lines, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to relaunch it with Season 6 and a refreshed look and sound and feel. And I won't sound like a stumbling idiot no more, hopefully.
Well, I'll take that up on you then. I'll stumble, bumble, and fumble.
And of course, we'll plug the strongest game show news website in the world, GameshowNewsNet.com. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And Nikki finishes up the show, please.
Yes. I didn't have anything else to promote because I am here. So for Carl Chenier, Jason Block, Jim Williams, and Bad News Beeman, I'm afraid I have some bad news. This show is done for now. But do come back. We always have something to talk about.
Oh, next week. Yeah. We're out of here. Skype. Good night, folks. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah, and
stay pony, my friends.
You had to, didn't you?
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.